Hello, everyone. Welcome to 30 Minutes for a Better You, a segment devoted to women's topics that will help make every day a good day. You'll hear from magazines such as Red Book, Woman's Day, Good Housekeeping, and the like, with articles ranging from health and well-being and relationships to decorating, travel, and finance, information you need to get the most out of your life. Continuing on with Good Housekeeping for July 2019, today we'll hear selections from the Discover section, including more good book recommendations, anxiety and using CBD, news from the Health and Wellness section, and the GH report on summer survival. Enjoy! From the Discover section, the best summer reads, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Tear through all of these intriguing tales by Labor Day. We only got through a few, so we'll pick up with Intrigue, The Golden Hour by Beatrix Williams. Set in the Bahamas around World War II, this scintillating story follows reporter Lulu Randolph as she investigates the governor and his wife. After a wealthy man is murdered, Lulu follows a circuitous path to an intriguing conclusion. Historical fiction lovers, Eat, Pray, Love, Indulge, City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. Life is both fleeting and dangerous, and there is no point in denying yourself pleasure or being anything other than what you are. The words of Vivian Morris, protagonist of the latest novel from the author of Eat, Pray, Love, serve as a summary of both her character and the book. Set in New York City theater's world of 1940s, City of Girls tells the story of teenage Vivian's discovery of the life she wants to live, one full of pleasure, fun, frivolity, and even scandal among the charismatic people who populate her aunt's Midtown theater. Here's from the humor section, A Class Mom's Second Chapter. In a loosely autobiographical tale, Laurie Gelman delivers laughs and love. Jen Dixon, the Midwestern mom with an acerbic wit and a soul cycle addiction, is back in Laurie Gelman's new novel, You've Been Volunteered, a follow-up to 2017's Class Mom. And the gang's all here, from Jen's energetic son Max to her wise friend Pizza. Many of the highlights, including the hilarious and irreverent emails Jen sends as class mom, are cribbed from Laurie's experience with one of the most thankless jobs during her own daughter's elementary school days. I'm not as quick or funny as Jen Dixon, she says, but some of the snarky emails are almost verbatim. Laurie, 55, didn't set out to be a writer. She worked as a radio reporter and television host for 2 decades before stepping away to raise her kids with husband Michael, the longtime executive producer of Live with Kelly and Ryan. As the kids got older, Laurie got restless. I always told my friends stories about being a class mom, she says. Then someone said, "That's your novel." In You've Been Volunteered, Jen is once again class mom, now for her son's 3rd grade class. This time, she represents the ultimate member of the sandwich generation, looking after kids, including 2 young adult daughters, as well as parents. With her husband buried in work, Jen finds herself juggling more responsibilities than one woman should. When I wrote this book, it was like putting on an old pair of slippers. The characters are so familiar to me, says Laurie. With any luck, she'll turn this delightful pair of books into a trilogy. And for those of you maybe traveling this year to the beach, here's some good reads for you. Family, The Floating Feldmans by Alyssa Friedland. Annette Feldman invites her adult children and teenage grandkids on a cruise for her 70th birthday. What could go wrong? In romance, The Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez. You'll laugh and cry through this touching novel about a complicated love connection tested by different views of family and the future. And Relationships, The Bride Test by Helen Huang. Kyai Depp's overbearing mother brings Esme Tran back from Vietnam to convince her autistic son he's worth marrying. A lesson in love and self-acceptance. Here's for all you suspense lovers, I'll Never Tell by Catherine McKenzie. After the death of their parents, the McAllister siblings return to the rundown summer camp where they spent their childhood to figure out what will become of the family property. But a clause in their father's will has them facing tough decisions. Food, Natalie Tan's book of luck and fortune by Roselle Lim. Natalie Tan returns home to San Francisco after news of her estranged mother's death. They often fought about Natalie's dreams of being a chef, so she's shocked to learn that she's inherited the family restaurant. And family, Things You Should Save in a Fire by Catherine Center. When Texas firefighter Cassie moves to Boston to care for her ailing mother, she becomes the only woman working at an old-school firehouse. When she falls for a coworker, she realizes being vulnerable takes strength. And here's another title in the romance section, a very modern love story, The Wedding Party by Jasmine Guillory. Maddie and Theo can't stand each other, and if it weren't for their mutual best friend Alexa, they'd probably never be caught dead in the same room. When Alexa asks both to be in her wedding, they dread the time they'll have to spend together. But everything changes when they end up in bed one drunken night. Determined to keep Alexa from finding out about their new friends with benefits situation, they must parse their complicated feelings for each other to determine what it is they're doing, all while helping Alexis plan for her big day. This sexy, fun read from the author of the New York Times bestseller The Proposal will leave you blushing. And for all you thriller lovers out there, a college drama, Tell Me Everything by Cambria Brockman. Maylin arrives at Hawthorne College and manages to hide her true nature from her new friends until a fellow student ends up dead. Secret History, Lock Every Door by Riley Sager. Broke and freshly heartbroken, Jules can't wait to start her job apartment sitting in the glamorous Bartholomew building. But when her coworker disappears, Jules must beat the clock to unmask a killer. And Suburban Crime, Never Have I Ever by Jocelyn Jackson. Amy has the perfect family and an idyllic suburban life. Then an enigmatic newcomer threatens to expose her long-buried past, and blackmail ensues. Here's another historical fiction, Tale of a Troubled Past, The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. Based on the real story of a reform school that operated for over a century in Jim Crow-era Florida, this book is set at the Nickel Academy, a chamber of horrors for the delinquent boys who end up there. After a misunderstanding lands Elwood Curtis, a straight-A student at the reformatory, he struggles to maintain his humanity in depraved circumstances that now include abuse and theft. This masterpiece of a novel from a Pulitzer Prize-winning author forces a good, hard look at the worst of society, echoes of which still reverberate today. And how about some culture? Stay Sexy and Don't Get Murdered, The Definitive How-To Guide by Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark. Part memoir, part advice column, part tutorial on living your best life while avoiding untimely death, this book from the hosts of a popular podcast will leave you feeling empowered and informed. Nonfiction, Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. The author spent 8 years investigating the complex lives of a housewife in Indiana, an entrepreneur on the East Coast, and a high school graduate in North Dakota. Their heart-wrenching stories aren't exactly light poolside reading, but they get to the crux of the many struggles women face today. And family. On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. This debut novel by a celebrated poet is a letter from 20-something writer Little Dog to his illiterate mother, exploring what it means to grow up a first-generation immigrant and grappling with the identity while remaining loyal to family. Fall in love with the beautiful array of characters. And moving on to our first article, Anxiety Was Sucking Up All My Joy. Then I Tried CBD. Anxiety is not literally my middle name, that's Alexandra, but it could be. Like my name, it has been with me always. But until I had kids, everyone, including me, thought I was simply an excellent planner, a hyper-conscientious worker, one of those 10 steps ahead people who ward off problems before they occur. No one tells you this, but having children can ratchet up the mind-grinding exponentially, turning it into a major liability. That's what happened to me when my twins were born 16 years ago. For those who are not anxious puppies, anxiety physically feels like fear, except that what you're afraid of isn't actually happening. Let's say the pediatrician sat you down and told you that your kid had a serious illness. Understandably, you'd freak, your heart would beat faster, your face would flush or go pale, and your chest might tighten, making it hard to breathe. Perhaps your brain would even glitch briefly, making you feel far away. That's how it is to have anxiety, except that you're reacting to the idea that your child could conceivably become sick one day in the future, and it's hard to shake the thought. It feels as bad as if it were happening in that moment. Anxiety can be triggered by something obvious, like reading a news report, or seemingly nothing at all. For me, anxiety drained a lot of the pleasure out of being a mom. When my kids were little and ran out giggling ahead of me in the playground, I'd flash to the thought of them splatting out and permanently marring their wee soft faces. If our food didn't arrive quickly at a restaurant, I'd sit braced for a screaming meltdown and the wrath of other diners, even as the kids sat blissfully coloring. Now that they're older, my anxiety swirls around what could happen to them if they do dumbass risk-taking things I did as a teenager. Never mind that they have decent judgment, and most teens survive into adulthood. I obviously did. Tell that to my anxiety. And then, 3 years ago, my unquiet mind, which I managed as best I could with exercise, meditation, an antidepressant, and therapy, really cranked up the volume. What's going on in the news, especially politics, can send me into a state, and all of the hashtag MeToo stories rouse some sleeping PTSD around events I'd shoved into the recesses of my brain. I slept poorly, which kept me on the edge during the day. My doctor prescribed Lozepam, the generic version of the anti-anxiety drug Ativan, and that helped in a pinch, but it also made me spacey, so I asked what she knew about CBD. The answer? Not much. This was just over a year ago, before CBD, short for cannabidiol, one of the hundreds of compounds in the cannabis plant, was being sold everywhere, from the organic manufacturer's office to the local bodega. She did know a fair amount about marijuana, CBD's more famous cousin. She said some patients found that pot helped their anxiety, allowing them to relax and sleep better, but others said it made their anxiety much worse. Having tried it decades ago, see dumbass teenage antics that I mentioned earlier, I knew it turned me into a giant Oreo-sucking slug who panicked that she'd drown if she didn't swallow her saliva faster. THC, short for delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, is the best-known compound in cannabis, the one that makes you high and, in my case, paranoid. But straight CBD, I'd read, did not. It was said to provide only the chill factor, and for some a sense of alertness, with none of the disorientation. I decided to do some research. I called a friend of a friend, Lynn Parendek, MD, a former OBGYN in Bedford, New York, who now exclusively treats medical marijuana patients for things like chronic pain, Parkinson's, and PTSD. She explained that CBD is found in both marijuana, illegal on a federal level, but legal in certain states, and hemp, now legal everywhere on a federal level, thanks to the 2018 Farm Bill. Whichever type of cannabis plant it comes from, generally speaking, if it has less than 0.3% THC, it's considered hemp-derived CBD, and in general, it is being sold over-the-counter, Dr. Parendek explains. A caveat. There are still areas in which CBD is not considered legal, as in taking time for local laws to catch up with federal law. So be aware of the rules where you live. CBD derived from pot, she says, contains other compounds that are thought to enhance the effectiveness of the CBD, something known as the, quote, the entourage effect. But CBD from hemp can also be effective, she says. Effective for what, you ask? Research is preliminary, but CBD seems to help with pain and certain neurological conditions. It is anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and more, says Joseph Cohen, D.O., a cannabis doctor in Boulder, Colorado. Taken orally as a tincture, in a capsule, or vaped, Some find that it can also alleviate anxiety and depression by working on the body's endocannabinoidal system, which plays a role in self-regulation, mood, and relaxation. Here's the deal with the endocannabinoid system. Our bodies produce endocannabinoids every day, says Joseph Maroon, MD, clinical professor and vice chairman of neurosurgery at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. These bind to receptors all over our bodies, says Dr. Paradnak. It may be that people who don't produce enough cannabinoids themselves are the ones who benefit from exogenous phytocannabinoids, i.e. taking CBD from plants, which then bind to those receptors. Another theory is that taking CBD allows our body's naturally produced cannabinoids to stick around longer, prolonging the calming effect, says Dr. Maroon. The thing is, there is not a lot of clinical data on CBD, because until the Farm Bill was passed last year, all cannabis, whether it contained lots of THC or not, was classified by the Drug Enforcement Agency, along with heroin and ecstasy, as a Schedule I drug, the most restrictive classification. That made it hard for medical researchers to study it, though the FDA recently approved the first CBD-based drug for rare forms of epilepsy. But doctors in states where cannabis is legal are hearing positive reports from their patients about CBD helping with anxiety, and scientists feel confident that it is not dangerous. It won't damage vital organs even at doses as high as 5,000 milligrams a day, says Jahan Marcoux, PhD, Director of Experimental Pharmacology and Behavioral Research at the International Research Center on Cannabis and Mental Health in New York City. And nobody has died simply from overdosing on a cannabis product, including marijuana. That information convinced me to at least try it, but I had wanted to know what side effects to look out for. While CBD is tolerated well by most people, Dr. Paradnak advised me to start low and go slow. Everybody is different, and what kinds of effects they'll see depends on what their underlying condition is, as well as their tolerance, she says. If you have a history of smoking marijuana, some strains of which are relatively high in CBD, you may develop tolerance, meaning you have to ingest more to get the same effect. When the body gets used to CBD, it may make fewer endogenous cannabinoids, she says, so you may need more CBD to feel anything. Too much, however, can give you stomach upset or make you tired. Some people feel a big fat nothing. For me, a non-pothead, and most adults, 10 milligrams is fine to start, says Dr. Paradnak. If that amount didn't help, she advised, I was to increase my dose in a week. If it's too much, you'll feel sleepy or have diarrhea, which means you should go back to where you were the week before. She recommended I write down what I took when and how I felt to see if it was working. If you're going to try CBD, be sure to tell your doctor, because it may interact with certain medications such as blood thinners. So off I went, first trying a brand a friend recommended. I took 10 milligrams of tincture at around 11 a.m., held it under my tongue for a minute, as advised, and then waited to feel like the secretly chill person I knew I was deep down inside. Nada. I did this every day for a week and didn't notice a difference. The next week, I tried the same thing, but also bit a 10 milligram CBD gummy in half, bringing my dosage up to 15 milligrams. After a week of this, I thought, maybe. I felt a bit calmer an hour or two after taking it, but I couldn't be sure. Then one day, the following week, another friend gave me a hit from a CBD oil vape pen at a moment when I was starting to bug out about being late to our movie. Within less than a minute, I felt de-escalation, and after a few, I felt noticeably, appreciably calmer. I reported back to Dr. Paradnak. That makes sense, she said. When you vape, 50% of the product gets utilized. With edibles, it's between 10 and 20%, and it takes longer to kick in because your body must metabolize it. Since then, I've been vaping between 1 and 3 hits each morning, which helps me feel subtly but noticeably calmer as I organize and set out for my day. And I keep my vape pen on hand for emergencies. If something happens that amplifies my panic, I step outside and take a hit. The CBD also seems to help me with the dramatic intrusive thoughts that come with my PTSD, and lets me be more in the moment because I'm not constantly anticipating what might go terribly, horribly wrong. I still meditate and do all of the other stuff, but CBD is one more thing that helps me. But it's not for everyone, and all CBD products are in no way created equal. I get my vape cartridges from a small vendor Dr. Paradneck recommended, but she cautions that because CBD quality varies widely depending on the manufacturer, it's buyer beware. We'll do some buyer tips in just a second. A 2017 JAMA study found that 43% of the CBD products the researchers ordered online had more CBD than indicated, while 26% had less. Some even had more than a trace of THC. There's a 75% chance of getting a product ordered or available online where the CBD is mislabeled, said Marcoux, one of the study's co-authors. Adds Dr. Maroon, buying from a reputable manufacturer is crucial because it matters how the plant is cultivated and processed. One clue is cost. If it's too cheap, it may not be the real deal. No half-gram vape cartridge is $50, but it lasts a long while, and for me, that's a very small price to pay. My half-gram vape cartridge is $50, but it lasts a long while, and for me, that's a very small price to pay to be able to enjoy my kiddos. Considering buying any CBD? Well, let's read these tips first. Choose products made with American hemp. If you purchase CBD oil in the U.S. from one of the 10 states where both recreational and medical cannabis use is legal, there's a better chance you'll get a higher quality product than if you buy one made with hemp-derived CBD oil imported from abroad, says Martin Lee, director of Project CBD, projectcbd.org, a nonprofit that promotes medical research on CBD. And note the amount of CBD and THC per dose. There's no definitive amount that's appropriate for everyone, but the ratio of CBD to THC will indicate how psychoactive the product is and if it's legal in your state. The more CBD compared with THC, the less of a high, and vice versa. Managing psychoactivity is key to successful cannabis therapy, says Lee, author of Smoke Signals. Amounts should be made clear on the label and lab certified so people know what's helping them and what's not. And finally, look for, quote, full spectrum or broad spectrum. These terms mean that all or most of the components that can be extracted from the hemp plant are in the oil. The wider the range included versus just CBD, the greater the potential medicinal benefit of the product, says Lee. Moving on to our wellness section, we've got about 5-6 minutes to go here, so we'll see what we can get through. Need to know nutrition, health, and fitness findings to help you feel, well, flat out fantastic. Natural Cures, the healing plant, and I'll bet you all know what this is before I even say it. Aloe vera can do so much more than soothe sunburn, says Joel Schlesinger, MD, an Omaha-based dermatologist. Its stems store water, creating a clear, gel-like substance that contains vitamins, antioxidants, minerals, and amino acids. Use it to ease irritation. The leaves' goo contains compounds that suppress inflammation, says Jennifer Gordon, MD, a dermatologist in Austin, as well as the pain reliever carboxypeptidase. Do a patch test to see whether you are sensitive to other ingredients in an aloe vera product before putting it on inflamed skin. What else it can do? Fight acne. Beyond its antibacterial properties, the gel has salicylic acid, an exfoliant that unclogs pores and acts as an anti-inflammatory on acne-producing oil glands, and speed up repair. Aloe vera contains agents known to help inhibit fungi, bacteria, and viruses, says David Lorcher, MD, a California dermatologist. It may help speed the healing of wounds. Sweat to stay sharp. While cognitive decline probably isn't on your mind right this second, the same things that keep you fit and control your weight can reduce your risk of dementia later on, including, of course, hitting the trails for a run or walk. Next time, grab your mom. New research shows that older adults with mild cognitive impairment, which may be a precursor to Alzheimer's disease or dementia, who do moderate intensity cardio workouts 4 times a week for 3 months perform significantly better on cognitive tests. Why? Cardio may regulate blood flow, helping to improve brain function and keep you sharp. Sun-burning news from the FDA. The FDA has proposed new sunscreen regulations that could bring huge changes to offerings in the SPF aisle as soon as the end of this year. In the meantime, you can use the info from the FDA's findings to protect your skin this summer. Choose a physical block. Of the 14 active ingredients found in sunscreens, only 2, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, are proposed to be generally recognized as safe and effective, the FDA states. These 2 ingredients are mineral sunscreens that work as physical blockers on skin's surface, explains Binur Aral, PhD, director of the Health, Beauty, and Environment Sciences Lab at the GH Institute. The 12 other active ingredients are chemical sunscreens, some of which have been associated with endocrine disruption. Go for the big numbers. The FDA suggests that an SPF value allowed on labels be capped at 60+, and that as SPF, an indication of UVB protection, increases, the amount of protection against UVA radiation should also go up. This means you'll get added protection from the rays that primarily cause skin aging, not just the ones that cause sunburn. Try to get the highest number you can this summer. Our tests have shown that people tend to apply about 1/3 the amount of sunscreen necessary to achieve the SPF listed on the label. Aral says, we recommend using at least broad-spectrum SPF 50 to compensate, but note that a high SPF can give you a false sense of security, so remember to reapply at least every 2 hours. And read the labels carefully. Currently, they can be confusing, which is why the FDA wants to make them more specific and easier to read. For now, look for broad spectrum sunscreen with an SPF of at least 30 and peruse the ingredients on the backs of many of the labels to select a product containing zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, because the FDA wants more data on the others. Also know that no sunscreen is waterproof or sweatproof. Search for a 40-minute or 80-minute water-resistant claim. For your vision protection while out in the sun, see which glasses you need now. Don't settle into that beach read without skimming this first. Quality sunglasses. Yes, your corneas can get sunburned, a painful condition called photokeratitis. The most important thing about sunglasses is that they provide 100% UVA and UVB protection, says Diana Seldmeridge, MD, clinical spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Most lenses block only rays from the front, so choose large frames with wraparound coverage on the sides and wear a broad-brimmed hat, she says. Get readers. Presbyopia, a loss of near vision that happens with age, I can tell that's happening with me, can hit after 40. The key with reading glasses is that the correction is based on where you'd like to hold things, says Dr. Seldmeridge. If you like to sew or read close up, you'll want a stronger prescription than if you keep a book on your lap. The good news is, magnification is pretty consistent, so unless you want a special anti-glare or UV coating for reading in the sun, $5 drugstore specs are totally fine. And blue light blockers. Well, you can skip these. Despite all of the advertising, the data on blue light emitted by digital screens hasn't shown it to pose definitive risks of things like macular degeneration. Save your money, says Dr. Seldmeridge. Well, that's all the time we have for our show today. We're not going to get to the rest of the wellness section today, so we'll keep that for next week. Thanks for spending some of your day with me, and I hope you enjoyed listening. And now for a bit of quotable summer. We did summer last week, too. Wit and wisdom until next time. From John Mayer, American singer and songwriter. 'Cause a little bit of summer is what the whole year is all about. This is Tracy Shoster. Thanks for tuning in. Have fun and be fabulous today.